الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic Studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic Studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic Studies class. Today's topic or subject will be talking about insects, their roles in Islam, like the talk about the bees and also you're talking about flies and that sort of thing, or spiders, like those insects that we are talking about. And basically, I'm going to look at it, it's our relationship with the creatures, with these creatures, or with creatures, period. But with these particular creatures, how are we supposed to relate to them? And being human beings, and more than likely we dominate over most other creatures, and I guess on some levels we outthink most other creatures. And because we're blessed with those abilities to over other creatures, that don't mean that we go and hurt them, beat up on them, or step on them, or do all kind of things to them, or burn them, anything like that. We do those things to them because we can, because we're human beings and we have that right, and we are over you, so we can do whatever we want to you because you're less than us. But keep in mind that whatever we do, whatever we say, the angels are there on our right shoulder and our left shoulder, writing down our good deeds and also our bad deeds. One on the right side, writing down our good deeds on our right shoulder. The ones on the left shoulder, writing down our bad deeds, or what we say, good or bad. They're writing it down, and then it all goes into a book. And then we have to, on the day of judgment, we present it with our book, and a book could tell our story. We don't have to say anything, because our story is already told within the pages of your book, of your basically your book of life. And so I want to look at a little bit here. Our topic today will be, our subject will be on our relationship between creatures, or between ourselves and insects. Let me read one thing. The prophet, may peace and blessing be upon him, and that he said, he prohibited killing four creatures: ants, bees, hoopoes, and hoopoes, or sometimes it might be spelled differently. These are basically colorful birds found, you'll find them in Africa, in Asia, in Europe. They're very notable for their distinctive crown of feathers on their heads. And also you have what is called a sparrow hawk, a sparrow hawks. These are the four creatures that we are prohibited from killing. And I'll get into later on about just killing any old creature. I'll get into that later. But these are the ones that the prophet, may peace and blessing upon him, that he had mentioned these four particular creatures. And I want to also read something to you. And when I read this, you can take from it what you need to take from it. And you can substitute some of this with maybe what's going on in the world right now. So I'm gonna leave it there, and won't go into details that that's not the focus of this but of this particular episode, or really at all. I'm telling you about what Islam is and what Islam is not. That's what I'm talking about here, and not really and trying to stay away from political issues, because there's a lot of them out there all over the world. Political stuff going on involving Muslims, or to bring Muslims in it, or Islam, or those kind of things. I'm not talking about that. That's for other podcasts and other individuals. That's for them to talk about. That's not what I'm talking about. But when I'm on this particular hadith narrated by Abu Huraira, who memorized about 5,000 hadith, or saying from the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him. He said, I heard Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may peace and blessing be upon him, saying, an ant bit a prophet amongst the prophets, and he ordered that the place of the ants be burnt. So Allah inspired him. It is because of one ant bit you that you burnt a nation amongst the nations that glorify Allah, or glorify me, or Allah. And so I'm just going to leave that there for you to listen to it again and again and again, in particular hadith. And you do with it what you want to do with it, and place it where you want to place it, and place different, you could place humans in there if you want to, because we had that happen a lot, where sometimes you have human beings, because one individual does something, then they want to knock out or take care of or hurt almost all individuals that look like that individual. Like I said, I'm not going to that. It's not a political podcast or episode. I'm just telling you about the various aspects of what is Islam and what Islam is not. And so, basically relating to the same thing, I'm talking about the ants. And we have another hadith where Allah's messenger, may peace and blessing be upon him, he said, Suleiman, alayhi salam, or Solomon, may peace be upon him, he went out to pray for rain. And he saw an ant lying on his back, raising his legs unto the sky, saying, O Allah, we are creatures among your creatures. We cannot live without your water. He said, meaning Suleiman to his companions, go back, for you have been given water through the supplication of others. For this mere supplication is this ant. And I'm going to get into another story later on where you had an insect that helped out human beings. And so you have this situation where they needed rain, they wanted rain, they go to the rainmaker, which was Allah, or is Allah. And they were going to pray to Allah and say, Ya Allah, make it rain. But not only the human beings were suffering, the insects were also suffering, meaning the ants. And I would assume also that trees were suffering, grass was suffering, so plants were suffering, vegetation was suffering because it wasn't raining. Because when it rains, it just doesn't just fall on the Muslims or just on human beings. It falls on everyone, and everyone takes from the rain and takes, and the rain, it takes a dead soil and brings it to life. When that rain comes down, it's dry, nothing there. But once that rain comes down, it saturates the earth, and then things start to bloom and grow, and we can eat, and animals can eat. And a lot of things happen because Allah provides, and we could drink the rainwater, of course. Allah provides for us this beautiful liquid from the sky. And it fills up our lakes and our streams and our ponds and those kind of things that we can purify or drink from it. Or some of us who have wells, fill that up, and we could drink from that. And so I won't go into more details about it, but my beautiful students, please remember that we have to pray to Allah. And we pray to Allah for rain, for example, then everyone benefits from it. Or when an ant, like this Suleiman saw, when his ant on his back praying to Allah, you know, we're suffering too. Please bring the rain down to us. He was praying for all of us. The rain just not just fall on the ants. It fall on everything and everybody. Anything on earth is going to fall upon. The rain's going to fall upon. And that's why the man said, no, we got that strong supplication from this ant, this one little ant, and we can go. We don't have to pray because this ant got it. And so I'm going to move on from that. Just let you know the power of just this one little insect. So let's move on. Let's go to another insect, and that is the spider. The spider play a very important role in, by the will of Allah, of saving the lives of companions. So how did he do that? Or how did the spider do that? Let me read in this way. There were two companions in the cave. They were the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, and Abu Bakr Siddiq. How did they get there? When the people in the Quraysh, the people of in Mecca at the time, they were really harsh to the Muslims. Only because they were Muslim and because of what they believed in. And so they were very harsh towards the people. To the point that the Muslims left. He told the Muslims to go from Medina to Mecca. From Mecca to Medina, the opposite. From Mecca to Medina, because Mecca, that's where they were getting a lot of torture and beating them and boycotted. And so they were the last to leave. He didn't just leave first and say, okay, you guys follow me. You all will meet me there. No. He didn't do that. He was a true leader. He was worried about his companions first. The people were part of his organization first. The ones that were underneath the banner of Islam. He didn't leave first and tell them to come later. No, he told them, you go first and you go here to Medina and those people there, they will take care of you. Then he left with Abu Bakr, his father-in-law, his cloak and companion, and they left. And following them were the Quraysh, the ones who wanted to destroy them, wanted to beat them up, wanted to harm them, wanted to kill them. So they followed them. And so the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and Abu Bakr, his companion, they left Mecca and they were on their way towards Medina. And they sought refuge or safety in a cave in Medina. So I want to just read something to you. I'm not in Medina, but on their way to Medina. They went into this cave. And so I'm just relating to you something related to that. When the Quraysh came to know that the Holy Prophet had left Mecca, they were much disturbed. They offer a reward of 100 she-camels to anyone who found the Holy Prophet and brought him back to Mecca. During the day, Abdullah, the son of Abu Bakr, would listen to the plans and talks of the Quraysh. And at night, he would carry the news to the fugitives in the cave. Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, brought them meals every day. Amr, a servant of Abu Bakr, will bring a flock of goats unto the mouth of the cave every night where they were milked. Then what happened after that? The Quraysh sent search parties in all directions. One party came dangerously close to the entrance of the cave. Abu Bakr had a feeling of great uneasiness at the impending people at the mouth of the cave. And the Prophet, may peace be upon him, he consoled him and said, "Fear not, for Allah is with us." And verily, Allah was with them. Miraculously, a spider wove its nest at the entrance of the cave, and seeing the nest, the search party turned away after it had reached the very mouth of the cave. This event is referred to in the Quran, in the Holy Quran, in the following terms, and you could turn to chapter 9, verse 40. Now, that's the only text you should have for this class. It's Quran. That's requirement for this class if you have a Quran. You can order for free at whyislam.com. You can go to the, you can order them at different places and get them. Or you can even go online and go to Quran.com. And you can go there and you can pull it up for free. So right now, it depends on what you want to do. You want to go online, go to Quran.com, and then you'll go to chapter 9, verse 40. So I'm going to give you a chance to do just that, to go to chapter 9, verse 40, so you can read along with me in terms of the reference to the cave and the two people in the cave. And so hopefully you're there now. And it says, and this is a rough translation of the Arabic, "He is being the second of the two when they were in the cave. And when Muhammad said to his companion, 'Grieve not, surely Allah is with us,' then Allah came to their help and protected them with an army which they saw not." And so this is a very beautiful thing here. Now I want to just add something to it. Is that when they went into the cave, then Allah had a bird nest on the outside or the mouth of the cave. And so it built its nest there, right at the mouth of the cave. And then a spider wove a web at the entrance of the cave. So when the Quraysh, the ones who were after the Prophet Muhammad and his companion, when they got to the mouth of the cave, and then they saw that no bird would put their nest there. And look at this spider web. It's undisturbed. It's not broken. Like someone went through it and broke it or something like that. So they could start going through the cave and looking for those two companions. And so what happened is that they said, no, it's no way they're going to be in there. So let's go. Let's leave. And so they left. And so I want to emphasize to you all just the importance of, you never know where the help of Allah is going to come from, how big it's going to be, how small it's going to be, but the impact can be a powerful impact. You just don't know. Like when that ant was on his back and it made supplication to Allah to make it rain for everybody. And then this particular spider and the bird, both this animal and this insect, they hid the prophet. They had their nest bird had its nest there, and also the web from the spider was there at the mouth where undisturbed. And so they made it so that the prophet, may peace be upon him, and his companion would not be harmed by these people who were out to harm them or break them and bring them back to Mecca. And so I just want you all to understand the importance of just these small creatures, a creation of Allah, how they make such a big impact. And the Prophet calmed the nerves and the uneasiness of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was concerned about, man, they're going to find us. They know we're here. And he said, you know, don't worry about it. There's two of us here and Allah is the third. It was four of us here. Then Allah will, four of us here. Then Allah will be the fifth. And so it really doesn't matter because Allah is there. Allah is going to be the protector, and He's the one that provide protection to us from everyone. So we don't worry about anything. And that's what a lot of Muslims, we are the protection of Allah. We ask Allah to help us and protect us and guard us against those people who want to do harm to us. No matter what way people are trying to harm us, we depend on Allah to take care of that and to protect us. Something happens to us, we say, mashallah. It was the will of Allah for something to happen. Maybe something's going to happen in the future, we say, inshallah. Inshallah, it'll happen. And so that's our spirit. So you understand the Muslim. Why are they like this? We like this because this is how we are built. This is how we are trained as Muslims. This is how we're supposed to be, that we depend on Allah. When our money runs short, we don't worry about that. We depend on Allah. We work, of course, and provide for our families. But Allah is with us, and He will take care of us. We tie our camel, okay? We don't leave our keys in the car. I say, Allah will protect. No, we turn our cars off, lock our door, and take our keys with us into the house. I'll lock our doors to the house, okay? We're not silly people like that, okay? But we believe in Allah, and so there's some things that we would just do as human beings, just a human being kind of thing. And other things we leave in the hands of Allah. Even your car is locked. If Allah wanted to be stolen, it'll be stolen. Not a problem with Allah. When Allah wants you to someone to take your keys, they'll take your keys. Not a problem for Allah to allow that to happen. And so I think you all got the spirit of what I'm saying. Particularly, I'm talking about the ant, and then I'm talking about the spider and how valuable they were for the people. The one making supplication to Allah, of sort of rain for over the people, on the people, and then the other one putting up the web, so the people, the evil people, will get to the people who worship Allah that are on the upper side of the web. Okay, so that was the divider. That thin web was divided between the good and the bad. Let me read this other portions to you all, and that is, this also was narrated by Ibn Abbas, that the Messenger of Allah, may peace and blessings upon him, he said, do not take anything that has a soul as a target. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm going to explain it to you in this way. I have a good explanation of it, and of course it's not an absolute explanation. Okay, this hadith narrated by Ibn Abbas states that the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, advised against targeting any living creature. This means that it is wrong to intentionally harm or hurt any animal, bird, or other living beings. It is important to remember that all creatures have the right to live peacefully without fear of being targeted or harmed by humans. This hadith teaches us that the importance of respecting all life forms on earth is not taking advantage of them for our own benefit. It is also encourage us to be kind and compassionate towards animals, birds, insects, etc., as they are part of Allah's creation, just like humans. We should strive to protect them from harm instead of causing them pain or suffering. And so, my beautiful students, I think you all get the idea of what I'm saying from the various things, the short things that I read. And it's so important that we are compassionate and kind towards all human beings, although we as human beings, for the most part, we dominate over most worldly creatures, for the most part. But the thing is, we, with our dominance, should also be some mercy and compassion for the living creatures, and not target living creatures, those with souls or whatever the case may be, and just kill them just for fun. Just to have a trophy that take their heads and put the animal's head up on your wall or on your floor or something like that, or to brag about it. or take pictures or selfies with you have you killed a lion or you killed a tiger or you killed an elephant or something like that. Those kinds of things. So just be very, very careful, because this is written on your slate, in your book. We are supposed to be kind and not hurt animals and birds and the like, or living beings, or hurt them, or harm them, or kill them. This is not what we do. And that was the basis of this particular episode, this particular class, is just emphasizing what our relationship should be between human beings and other creatures. Creatures of Allah. I know sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes it's automatic. A mosquito bites you, you automatically hit it. I understand that part, okay? I'm not talking about your automatic things. But I want you, inshallah, to the best of your ability, do your best to be kind towards other living things, gentle towards other living things. Don't harm other living things. Don't hurt other living things. Be compassionate to other living things. That's all that I'm asking you all to do, to reach inside yourself and touch that good part of you, that part of you that is compassionate and the one that is merciful and the one that is kind and the one that do not hurt others and the one that do not harm others. That's the one I want to blossom from this particular class. You have it in you, just bring it out of you. If all the people around you don't have it, you show it. You show it by through your example of what kindness is, what gentleness is, what compassion is, particularly to a human being, another human being, no matter the color of his skin, or tall, fat, white, whatever, black, it doesn't matter. Brown, it doesn't matter. Polka dot, it doesn't matter. The kindness you're supposed to show to another creature. Because that creature is different from you, then you're going to show them a bad side of you. No, show them a good side of you, a kind side of you. And don't do it just to take pictures so you can put it in the paper or a book or something. You do it because that's how your heart is. That's how you want to develop your heart and not be a blackened heart, but be a kind heart, a merciful heart. That's what you want to be, my beautiful students, and that's what I'm trying to emphasize to you. That's how Islam see things. And I want you also to see things through Islamic eyes when you talk about our relationship with other creatures that share this earth with us. We're not here alone. There are creatures all over and all around us. And so we have to be kind towards them and gentle towards them and show some kind of compassionate towards them. And you never know, they may help you. Like the ants help the people with the rain on his back and make a supplication to Allah to please make it rain. And then also like the spider. And the spider helped the prophet, may peace be upon him, and his companion in the cave by simply just doing what it's naturally do, which is spin a web over the cave entrance, and the people were fooled by that. It's like no way anybody's gonna be in there because look at this web, is undisturbed. I understand the logic of that. But the thing is, Allah said he will protect, and he didn't bring an army against them, anything like that. He just used a bird with the nets, and also the spider. That's all that he used, and that's all that it needed to be used for in that particular situation. So my beautiful students in this students in Islamic studies, please start now to change yourself and be more compassionate and be more kind to all creatures that share the earth with us. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.